Welcome to the Real Deep Movie Reviews Podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the new Zach Greger movie, Weapons. Heads up to all of our listeners, there will be plenty of spoilers throughout our discussion today. All right, so what were your initial thoughts after seeing it?
I mean, honestly, like, I liked the movie. Like, I thought it was a good movie. But I was, like, it was a good movie, but I felt similarly on how I felt about his other recent really popular movie, which was Barbarian, where it was like, it was good, but it wasn't great. And like, there were different things I kind of had problems with. I felt like it ended very abruptly. I didn't appreciate that because that kind of left me a little bit like, I feel like I have more questions now that the movie's over than I did before the movie even started. So it's like, I don't know. I think it was good, but I would never put it in any type of great category.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually saw this one together. And so like walking out, I remember we were both kind of like, we just felt like weird about it. Like we didn't know how we felt about it. Right.
Yeah.
Like even to this day, like there are parts of it that I really like. There are parts of it that I'm just like, I don't know why they did that. I think that was a mistake. And so, yeah. And even just the ending, like you said, like, I'm fine with all sorts of different endings. I probably like more kind of like weird endings way more than the average person does.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't know, just the whole thing. It was just a lot of like back and forth where I felt like I liked it. I didn't like it. So I remember I liked it and that was like my overall feeling, but it was a little bit of like, but I also kind of didn't, you know, it was very strange.
One compliment I will definitely give is I think the acting was great.
Yeah.
I feel like the acting from everybody, whether you like the character or not, I think everyone sold their role very well. It was very believable and I enjoyed the acting performances. That was hands down one of the best parts, especially Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin was my favorite character in that movie. And I definitely think he did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's one of the stars, right? Him and Julia Garner, who's been, in a bunch of things recently, but kind of best known for a couple of Netflix shows that she did, Ozark and I think Inventing Anna. Yeah, they were great. Really, I agree. The whole cast, I think, did a good job. But yeah, Josh Brolin, I mean, he's kind of always fantastic in what he does, right? But I agree. He sold the role of the devastated father, right? Who's like on a mission to figure out where his son is and you know, kind of never gives up on that mission. I thought he did great on that.
Yeah. But then speaking on the characters, Julia Gardner's character, I actually, like, I think that you're not supposed to like her character, but like, I really didn't like her character. And to me, that was a little bit distracting because there were so many times that I would see her do things and it was just like, I can't stand her. Like, oh my God, she's making me mad. Like, different things that she would do. I don't know. I didn't really like that. It was a little bit distracting to me. I feel like they should have tried to make her a little bit more likable than they did.
Yeah. And I'm not sure why they did. Right.
Yeah, I know
one thing that pops into mind for me is the scene at the bar, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's toward the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. She's at the bar. She's kind of devastated. Right. Mm-hmm. So all these kids, these 17 kids in her classroom go disappearing. Only one kid in her class doesn't disappear. And she's a teacher and all these people like months later, they blame her for some reason, right? They're trying to figure out like, was she involved? Because it's weird that it was just her class and all this. And so she's getting all this hate and she ends up, you know, at the bar, you know, drinking her sorrows away or whatever. And she asks this cop to come join her, who's like this former love interest or whatever. I can't remember the character's name off the top of my head. And she's like trying to get him to have a drink. Well, you find out later, like this guy's a recovering alcoholic. Like,
and he declines a lot of times too. Like he continues to keep telling her no, no. And I feel like it is one of those situations where like, now I haven't really looked into a ton of these, like a ton of deep into like movie reviews, what other people have been saying about it myself. But this is one of those things where like, if you switch the roles of those characters, this was a guy doing it to a girl, people would be losing it. They would be like, oh my God, he's not taking no as an answer. He's forcing her to do it. And I haven't seen any like backlash from this. And I think it's very much one of those things like, this is really messed up. Like that's not okay to do, to like manipulate with your sorrow someone into doing this thing, especially when you know those kind of things about them, and not taking that no as an answer. Like, that needs to be, they said no, all right, I'm not going to ask again.
You know? Because not only is he an alcoholic, but he's married.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so it's just kind of like, yeah, you're like, this character's awful.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, what kind of person tries to get an alcoholic to drink something?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, to do it so that you can, you know, take advantage of him in that state when his wife's out of town and you can sleep with him. It just, yeah I agree. To me, there wasn't a reason to make her such an unlikable character. So I don't know why they did.
And then even the way that she went about, like, it wasn't that she was just like worried about like the kid, the one kid that was remaining in her class that wasn't taken. It wasn't that she was just like worried about him. It's like, she was like obsessed with, like, she needed to talk to him. And it was like, I get that somebody in that situation, they might be feeling grief. They might be feeling like, oh, I need to talk to somebody. Who can I relate to, right? But the principal of the school even tells her, this is something that you want to do for yourself. You don't want to check up on him. You don't want him to see if he's doing all right. You want to feel all right. You want to feel like you're a good person, and you're trying to get that, like, for yourself. This is better for you, but not for him. And then she, like, when he doesn't want to talk to her, he states it clearly, he does not want to have anything to do with her. He runs inside his house. She decides to go walk around in his house and try to look in the windows. And yeah, I mean, the windows are boarded up and it's kind of creepy looking, weird, what's going on. It still is like, this is completely not okay. Like, this is like criminal. Like, why are you sneaking around his property trying to look in his windows? Like,
yeah,
he doesn't want to talk to you. Like, it's another one of those things. It's like, he said no. That is the end of discussion. You don't get to hide in his property. And she was waiting at the bus stop. Like, it's like, I think she was a real kind of weirdo. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And I still go back to what we were just saying. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why they chose to do
like,
that.
Like, you could have made her a sympathetic character, right? Like, here's this teacher. She's gone through this traumatic event with her whole classroom disappearing. Mm-hmm. And now she's got this, like, extra trauma of the entire town and parents blaming her, right?
Yeah.
When she had nothing to do with the whole thing. But rather than making her sympathetic, yeah, you make her do all these things that make us, like, question her and think that, like, she's just very weird and odd. And I don't know if part of it was they were trying to, like, lead us into thinking maybe she did have something to do with it. But they so quickly, like, dispatch with that idea. Yeah. Like, you find out pretty, like, quickly she doesn't.
Yeah, right? That's the thing, is that you almost immediately know that she doesn't have a part in it, because, like, she's having nightmares about things and she's, like, seeing, it's like, I feel like they never even, like, hinted at her possibly having something to do with it. So it's like, I agree. If they were trying to make it like a mystery, like, well, who is it? Is she, like, then I would understand that they're trying to paint her looking bad, but they didn't do that. They weren't doing it like a whodunit. It was like, no, we find out who did it pretty quick. And, like, about halfway through the movie, we're completely 100% positive on what's going on. So it doesn't really make any sense on why they were so, like, I don't know, why they were just pushing for that narrative of, like, making her a weirdo.
Yeah. I did like the principal, though.
I
thought he was a good character.
I thought he was a good character.
He's a likable character.
Yeah, I like that actor a lot, too. You know, he plays Wong in the MCU. Yeah. I like him a lot. But, yeah, his character was great. And the way they handled his whole character, too. Even the way they did, like, the, I guess, yeah, this is obviously spoiler, but the villain of the movie, like, the person who took all the kids it's the aunt of the boy that was still in the class, that, like, the only one that wasn't taken, that would then disappear. She was, and honestly, I guess this is almost going into a new topic, but her, like, motivation was never made fully clear, but it basically seemed like she was trying to take them to maybe, like, drain some of their, like life force into her or something like that, somehow heal herself because she was sick. Right. But, like, it never really explained what was going on or how that worked. Like, all we saw is that she could control them, but, like, not that she could get anything from them. Like,
yeah, that's certainly the like feeling that they give you, right? It's like they start leading you in that direction that she needs them. Cause she even says it toward the beginning of the movie, or, you know, at some point in the movie, she says she needs these children. Right?
Yeah.
And you assume it's so that, yeah, she can take some of their health, their life force or whatever. But then it just doesn't seem I don't know. You just never really do anything with that. There were a lot of things like that throughout the movie where it's like they had this idea, but then they didn't. So they like put something in there, but then they didn't fully explore it.
They didn't fully explore it. And I do think it was cool the way that, like, the method that she used, where it's like she would like use this, like, I guess she had like a magic tree or something like that. So like a magic tree that she would wrap like a hair around, and then she would attach like something that had some type of meaning to someone, and then she would snap the branch, and then that meaningful thing, the person that belonged to, would now be like under her control, and would do, they would just like go on this blind rage of trying to kill that person, or maybe not kill, but like do whatever it is that she, whatever task she wanted them to do.
Yeah.
So that's what she did to the principal. I thought that was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool scene of the principal where he was just like, he was allowing himself to like die. Like everything he was doing was brutally damaging himself in an attempt to try to kill the teacher.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. He played that well. It's just
he did a great job in
rage.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, no, but with the lady again, so we're under the impression that she doesn't have any powers. Like her, like we never really see anything. It's like she has this magic tree and that's about it. She knows how to do voodoo. Cool. But somehow she's like appearing in Josh Brolin's nightmare. She's in the teacher's nightmare. She's in the middle of the woods, like a hallucination to like this stoner. Like what was, I'm still, again, that's the thing I'm the most confused about, is what was going on with that. We never established she had any magic powers. She never used any of these abilities. And if she did have magic powers, why would she be taunting them? She didn't want them to find her out. As soon as they started finding her out, she wanted to move. She wanted to get out of there. So it's like, why would she be like telling them, oh, hey, just letting you know I'm out here. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah, and she obviously didn't have any magic powers.
Yeah, and she didn't have to begin with.
In the movie, she's like running away from these kids who are suddenly now after her.
Yeah.
So she totally lost control of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, I'm not convinced that the director even knew if he wanted her to have powers or not. Right. It was like at some points he did when he was writing it, and at some points he didn't. And so he just left these things in there. I don't know. Yeah. It's just very strange.
It was very poorly done in my opinion. Now the one compliment I'll give is the scenes where she's using those magic powers or whatever. Those are the scariest scenes in the movie. Like those are the really good horror scenes. Other than those, like three scenes, I don't think there was any time in the movie I was scared. Like, I feel like it was just those three scenes that were like really effectively done with jump scares. And like they effectively built that suspense, but basically every other part in the movie, I wasn't really feeling any type of fear, especially once I found out that she didn't have magic powers and she was just an old lady. Right. Then it was like, oh, now there really isn't anything to be scared about. Like, this is just like not scary now. Right.
Right.
Now, like,
it's not, you know, you're almost led to believe it's supernatural. Yeah. And then you find out it's not. And so now she's just controlling these people.
Yeah. And honestly, going into the movie, I was kind of shaking a little bit. I'm like, this is kind of scary. Like, it seemed like it was going to be some type of supernatural, demonic, something crazy is going on. That would have been scary.
Yeah.
That would have been scary. And that's what they were kind of building to. And those were really scary parts. But then, then they just completely went the entire opposite way, and it lost all that. All the fear was just gone.
Yeah. Like the trailers leading up to it, I thought we were going to go see a horror movie. Like, I thought it was going to be scary.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they start off the movie. I think the way they started the movie was one of my favorite parts about the entire thing.
With the kid talking.
With the kid talking. I thought that was just super creepy. They're just like talking in a normal voice. Like, they're talking about everyday things that happened, but they're talking about this like weird, awful thing that happened. Right.
Yeah.
Which kind of just added like some creepiness to it. And then you see like the kids running around, you know, running out of their house with their arms spread out like wings, like, and you don't know what's going on. Right. So that to me was a good setup. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, kind of like the trailer. Like it's going to be scary.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. There were some parts where I was like, oh shit, this is like,
actually kind of gets you for a second.
Yeah. Oh. Like, they got me. I'm going to be, you know, getting scared throughout this movie. But then They didn't take it any farther.
It fades out. Yeah, it starts fading out once you find out what's really going on. And honestly, I feel like the same thing is for Barbarian. Like, that was my biggest complaint with Barbarian. For the first, like, half the movie, it's a pretty effective, scary movie. Like, there wasn't even anything that happened in the first, like, 30 minutes. There wasn't, like, a single, like, scary thing. Like, if you actually, like, obviously, you know, it's a little bit, like, there's unnecessary music buildup and suspense, but, like, really, like, actually, there was nothing scary that happened. The first scare doesn't even come until, like, almost probably, like, a third of the way into the movie. And it's a really effective jump scare. Like, it's like this, well, I won't even say it because I don't want to get too into it because, you know, we might do a review on that one, but it was really effective. But then once you find out that it's not supernatural, once you find out that it is just human beings and what's really going on, kind of lose. Actually, I am just going to say it because I feel, yeah, I'm just going to say it. So the effective jump scare at first, which was really scary, is you have the actor that played Pennywise from It, which is phenomenal. I think it's Eric Skarsgård, phenomenal actor. He's like freaking out. He's in this like cave basement thing. He's freaking out. He's talking like, there's somebody down here. He's super scared. And then out of nowhere, just like out of the dark in like this cave type setting, which, you know, like you obviously with a flashlight can only see like a very limited amount. It doesn't go down the whole hallway. This giant naked woman just kind of like starts like running, like wobble running, sprinting at the main character, like screaming. That was super, that got me. I was not ready for that, right? And then it's pretty creepy, all this stuff that's going on with her. But then you end up finding out later, she doesn't have any superpowers. It's a lady who was born after like generations of incest and abuse. And so she's very deformed, which is why she looks this way. But then it kind of is like, okay, well, hold on a second. That explains the look, but what about the super strength where she's able to like battle a full grown man and she bashes this guy's head. And it's like, how is she able to, and then she's able to jump off of a water tower and like protect, get beneath somebody that's already in middle of the air falling and protect them from the impact of hitting the ground. Like all these things, there's like clearly, and then she's still alive after that. And it's like all these literal superpowers, but there's not a single supernatural thing going on. It takes me out of the movie. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So did you know what was going on? Like, did you know what was going on when you wrote this? Like, this doesn't, are you trying to make this realistic or are you trying to make it supernatural? You got to pick one. You can't do both.
Right. And it seems like that's what he did with this one too, with Weapons, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you. It kind of throws you throughout the movie too, because you find yourself thinking about some of these things during the movie and that's not a good experience, right? Like during the movie, you should be fully engrossed in the movie.
Yeah.
Not thinking about like, wait, why did they do that? Or that doesn't make any sense anymore. Yeah. Like, how could they see this lady in their dreams if she doesn't actually have any real powers? Right. So it's just, it's very odd. Now I will say, I think the actress did a great job.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, she did.
She played the role really well. Mm-hmm. And there were other scary moments in the movie. I mean, when Julia Garner's character is like creeping around that house, right? The house, so all the windows are like covered in newspapers.
Yeah.
And she creeps around and she finds like an opening and she peeks in and you just see these two like shadow heads sitting there on the couch. Like,
yeah,
that was creepy.
That was a good jump scare. That was a good jump scare. That was still in the part where it was like, we felt like there might be something going on. Right. We were still under the impression that this might be a supernatural demonic thing. But then it turns out, oh no, those are two just like husks of human beings just sitting there. Like,
yeah.
They're just like, not even like, there's nothing going on in their head. You know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
It was effective when it happened. But then again, it's one of those movies where I feel like it has zero rewatch value. Like rewatching it, you're not going to get scared because you know where the jump scares are. And there isn't that suspenseful, actual scary thing going on because you know everything that's going on. Right. And what's going on.
That's it.
Yeah. What's going on? It's his tree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, there's something else that they didn't fully explore too, which is like, who is this lady? Right. So like it's supposed to be the little boy that didn't get abducted. Right.
Yeah.
He's living with his parents and it's supposed to be his mother's aunt that's coming and and living.
I thought it was his mother's sister.
No, no.
Oh, it was her aunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were even talking about it like.
That makes more sense, honestly.
She doesn't maybe fully know her. The last time they saw her was at their wedding. But there was this weirdness of, do you remember when she went to talk to the principal? The aunt went to talk to the principal.
Yeah.
So like the parents are already under the spell.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, and the kids have all disappeared. Mm-hmm. And the teacher goes and talks to the principal. She says she's concerned. She goes, she creeps around the house. She sees the parents sitting there and she's like freaking out. Right. So she tells the principal she's concerned.
Yeah.
So the principal calls. And the aunt ends up coming in to meet with the principal to discuss these concerns.
Yeah.
And she says something about how they have consumption. And you see the principal look like, consumption? Like, what even is that? And then I think he says, is that tuberculosis? And that's what it is. Tuberculosis is, or consumption is tuberculosis, which has not been a scary disease for a long time. Right. So like, and no one has called it consumption for like 100 years. Mm. So you're kind of left with this, like, why would she call it consumption? Which then makes you think like she's this really old witch who's maybe had this magic tree for a long time.
So maybe she's been doing this kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the impression you get, but it's just like, they never fully explore it because again, they don't fully explore like, well, how is she staying alive? How's she getting this life force from these kids? Like they don't delve into that at all.
Yeah. And again, I don't think that they necessarily had to. Like, I think it's okay that we didn't get like a 10-minute expository scene where she breaks the whole thing down. Like, we didn't need that. But it is one of those things that is like, I feel a little bit like unfulfilled. Like, I don't really know enough about this lady to like really know how to feel about this. Like,
yeah, like I don't need all the answers, right?
Yeah.
But everything about her became a question.
Yeah.
Right. Like, does she have powers? Does she not have powers?
But not in a scary way. That's right. It wasn't a question in like, this is scary. What's going on? It was a question in like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't like this. You know, like, I don't like that I don't know anything about what's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was disappointing. Again, that's kind of how I felt about Barbarian, where it was like, I don't like that I don't know what's going on with this character. And it makes me, like, it completely takes me out of the movie. It completely takes me out where it's like, I don't even know what's going on. Are they supernatural? Are they not? Am I supposed to feel bad for them? Am I supposed to feel like they're the bad guy? Like, what's going on here? You know, I don't know how to feel. So I don't know. It's.
So what'd you think about, what'd you think about the cop character? The guy that was the
alcohol. I thought he was a good character.
Yeah,
I thought he was pretty good. I think all the characters were good. Like, I think all the characters were well done. I think they were all well acted. That is the best, like, thing in the movie, is the acting and the characters. They're all well done. And, yeah, I really enjoyed him. I enjoyed the stoner a lot. They're both really great characters.
Yeah, and I thought they had some really good scenes. Like, those scenes where the interaction between the cop and this stoner guy. Mm-hmm. I thought those were really well done. I thought the writing in those scenes was good, and how you get to see, you know, how some of these characters are. I love that the one time the cop's like chasing the stoner and he's all scared. He goes and like runs to his house, but his house is a tent, and he like locks the door by zipping up the tent. Like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. The only criticism I can give to those scenes though, is that they do kind of take you out of the, like, they're enjoyable scenes. They're well done scenes. They're well shot scenes. They're well acted scenes, but it kind of like is its own like completely different side plot that has nothing to do with what's going on. And then it kind of gets connected a little bit, and then it kind of, but like all it really ends up doing is just giving her two people that she can have as like bodyguards.
Right.
That's all it does.
So you spent, you know, 15 minutes developing these characters a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, we actually get to learn a little bit about both of these guys.
Yeah, but 15 minutes each. So it's like 30 minutes in total, you know?
All so that they can basically just become, you know,
some bodyguards.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? I mean, like, again, I enjoy the scenes, but like that did nothing. Like that accomplished nothing. That was a huge waste of time. And there wasn't anything scary going on during those scenes. So,
other than, I will say one thing I thought they did well, like when people were under the spell, I thought the sort of animalistic way that they just kind of like saw red, right? Like they, mm-hmm. they fixated on a target and they just went and just went, you know,
full. Well, yeah, because it was together. The like weapons, like was the idea exactly. that they're weapons, they're being weaponized. Yeah.
So I felt like that was actually pretty cool. So like when after the cop gets, you know, he goes in the house and he gets turned and he comes out later, the way he like walks, like speed walks at the car to go get the stoner out of the back of his cruiser, I thought that was actually pretty cool. Like it was almost kind of scary. Like you can imagine like this guy who's like trapped in this car. He can't get out. Right.
Yeah.
And this guy's just walking with this like super fast, determined, aggressive pace at him. Like that would be a little bit scary for that guy. Right.
Yeah.
Or like when the mom came out, when Julie Garner's character is sitting in front of this student's house, right. She's mm-hmm. sitting there watching overnight because she wants to know what's going on, right? We already talked about how that didn't quite make sense, but she's sitting there and the mom like comes out in the middle of the night and walks in this super weird, creepy way. And she's like carrying a pair of scissors, sneaks in through the back of the trunk and snips some of her hair so that she can then be used and turned, right?
Yeah.
But so I liked how they made him, like how they made him walk, how they made him act, or even like mm-hmm. the principal, like how he was just like so fixated and aggressive.
Yeah.
I thought that part was pretty well done.
Although what I will say about that mom scene, from what I've seen from people's reaction to it, a lot of people actually didn't like that scene. They felt like it was like the door opens and it's completely dark and it's scary. It's like, what's going on? And then she walks out and then she's walking. Apparently a lot of people thought that was funny. Like they didn't find it scary. They felt like it was kind of funny because she was like wobbling. They didn't really think it was like a scary walk as much as it was just kind of like a funny one. And then once she went to the window, and then once she passed the window and then to hear a car door open, that was kind of scary. It's like, oh, she's in the car. But then when she like goes around and then just cuts a piece of hair, apparently people thought that was funny too. It's like, oh, this is just cutting the hair. Like, which it makes sense with context. Oh, they want the hair so that they can send a weaponized human being to go kill them, right? Because she couldn't send her to kill her because she didn't have any item or object of her. So right. She couldn't send the people to kill her without going out herself. So that made sense. But yeah, apparently that didn't really hit with a lot of people. I felt a little bit suspense during that scene. Like I was kind of like,
yeah, I thought it was suspenseful because it was before you fully understood everything.
Yeah. Right?
So I think that's an important context is like where it took place in the movie.
Yeah.
And it was before you had figured everything out.
Yeah.
So you still didn't really know what was going on. So to me, there was a lot of suspense built up to that. Like I thought she was going to kill her.
Yeah.
Right. Not or at least too, like.
Yeah. I thought she was going to attack her.
Yeah. She was going to attack her for sure. But then, when she cut her hair, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then you find out later why, like you said.
Yeah. But no, yeah, in the context of that scene, like, I do feel like it's one of those scenes that had potential to be pretty scary. But then after the scene's over, like, you don't feel scared. You just feel like, what? Like, obviously, the question gets answered later. But, like, it's the problem is a lot of the questions that come up in this movie, it's not the problem that they are questions, but it's a problem that they're questions that you don't feel fear with. It's not like you're afraid and you have these questions about, like, what's going on. It's like you just have these questions. You're confused. You're like, wait, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. And I don't know. Again, I went into this movie thinking I want to be scared. I heard this movie is apparently one of the scariest movies that's happened in the last few years. So it's like, I came in this movie thinking I'm going to be scared. But honestly, I went to Barbarian with that same exact feeling. I went to people talking about Barbarian, one of the scariest horror movies of the year. And I was like, oh, okay. When is Barbarian? Oh, well, that was scary for half the movie.
Right.
You know, and that's how I felt about this one. It was scary for half the movie.
Yeah. I mean, they had the jump scare. Like the jump scares were scary.
Yeah.
Right?
They were good jump scares.
But there was never any like long-term suspenseful, I'm kind of scared just sitting here throughout this entire movie. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I mean, I guess you classify it as a horror movie, but honestly, like it, I don't know.
Yeah. After the first half, it really doesn't feel like a horror movie anymore. And honestly, like the entire climax ending of the movie did not feel like a horror movie. It felt like an action. So it felt like an action thriller. Like that's what it felt like more than because there was nothing scary going on. Like when the people attacked them, like there was suspense building that they were going to do something, which we all knew they were, right? When they attacked, it was kind of like, oh, they're attacking, you know? But I was never scared there. I was like, oh, they're not going to kill off the two main characters, some stoner and some cop. Like, they're not going to do that, right? And the cop, you know, he gets dispatched, like, I don't want to say easily, but, like, he gets dispatched pretty simply. And the stoner, he keeps attacking Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin just keeps, like, punching him and throwing him off. And then he stays there for a second. Then he jumps up, starts screaming again, and attacks him. And that was a funny scene. Like, I thought that was a good scene.
It was funny. And, like, should it be funny?
Exactly. It was funny. And it was a little bit like, after the scene was over, I was kind of like, well, that was a funny scene. But why did we just do a funny scene in the middle of the climax of a horror movie? Like,
right. What
are we doing?
Yeah.
And then when he went down to the basement, I did think that was a good scene of him, like, going from kid to kid. And then the jump scare at the end where it was like the lady was down there to try to, like, get him, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was well done.
I agree. That part was well done. And I will also say, you know, part of the climax. So I guess because they're, like, under a witch's spell and there's, like, this old, you know, I don't know, part of, like, the whole, like, witching thing is you can't cross, like, a line of salt or something like that, right? The witches can't get past this line of salt. So they had different lines of salt in that climax scene,
yeah. Right?
So the two guys attacked them when they crossed that line,
yeah.
When they came over to their side. The parents were standing guard outside of the room that had the magic tree, and that was the witch's room, right? The aunt's room.
Yeah.
And she told the kid, don't cross that line. Yeah. Well, when the kid hears, like, all this commotion stuff, he crosses the line of salt.
Yeah.
And then the parents just go apeshit and start chasing the kid, right?
Yeah.
And trying to kill the kid. And so he's, like, he's running back to his bedroom. He's locking his door. They're busting in. I think that scene with the parents was actually pretty well done. Like, if you think about it from the standpoint of a kid being chased by his crazy parents who are trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fairly terrifying concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that part of the climax was pretty good. But then it was kind of just all negated by, like, how they ended it,
mm-hmm.
with the kids, you know, taking control that kid, like, I guess the last part of that scene with that kid is he gets a branch of the tree, right?
Yeah. And then he sends all of the kids that were in the basement. He sends them, he weaponizes them to attack the witch lady.
Yeah.
But no, I do feel like, I understand what you're saying. I feel like for the kid, that would have been really terrifying because, oh my God, his parents are coming at him. They're trying to kill him, right? Super scary. He's a little kid. It wasn't scary for me because at this point in the movie, I kind of felt like what they're doing, I didn't think they had the balls to kill the kid. I didn't think they would. I didn't think they would at all because even the whole setup, like, all these kids are just sitting here dormant in the basement. They're not hurt. They're not injured. They're not dead. As soon as that happened, as soon as we realized that, I was like, oh, okay. So we're not taking risks in this movie. That's not something that we're doing. We're staying safe. Like, we're not going to actually kill any of these kids. Like, we're going to make sure they're all okay. So then I was like, oh, I know these parents aren't going to get the kid. They're not going to do that. Right.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that scene of all the kids chasing her, well, you know, it was a great, like, revenge scene. Like, I thought that once they all caught up to her and they literally just started, like, ripping her apart, like, they ripping her limbs off, like, ripping, like, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, that was a really great practical effects, great gore, pretty terrifying, you know, like, that was really cool. But, like, again, it wasn't scary. And honestly, it was almost comical. It was almost like she's running around, arms in the sky, running through all these houses. And then here come the kids that are jumping through the windows. Oh my God. Like, which, by the way, like, jumping through glass and stuff like that, like, they would have been
cut up
all over the place, but none of them have any injuries. But that was, and honestly, again, that's what I saw too. When I saw people's responses to it, they also felt like, you know, it was like the ending of this movie was comical, turned into a comedy. Like, for like 5 minutes, we watch her run around the whole neighborhood. Like, you see her run through the backyard and the kids all fall, and the guy's mowing his grass, like,
Yeah, and then he sees the kids following, you know, he sees her, and then he sees the kids following her a few seconds later.
That's weird. What's going on? Like, it just keeps on mowing.
That part of the scene went on way too long, too.
Yeah.
Like, she ran through, like, three or four different houses. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't need to do all that.
It went on for a long time, and it just, I don't know. Again, the scene wasn't even like a terrible scene. It's just like, it doesn't fit with what the tone of this movie was like set up to be. Right. Yeah. No, I also
didn't like, yes, it makes sense that they grabbed her and they killed her. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly, but I feel like some of them were like eating her. Weren't they like biting her?
Well, they might have been biting her. I don't know.
Maybe if they were just biting her.
Yeah, they might have been like, because
that kind of threw me. Because I'm like, wait a minute. Like, no one's been trying to eat anyone this entire movie. Like, why would they try to eat her?
I don't think they were. Yeah, they probably were trying to eat her. They were trying to like biting, ripping. Yeah.
It was just. It was also a little bit weird that they were like ripping her head apart and stuff, because everyone else, it seemed like their goal was just to kill the person. Right? Like when the principal kills his boyfriend or his husband or whatever, right? Like he just kills him.
Well,
he kills him like extensively, right? Like he beats his head in.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think it is though? I think the way they try to kill them is like what they deem to be the most effective way in that moment. Where like for the husband, instead of getting a fist fight with the guy, he starts just like, he pins him down and then starts like headbutting him, just slamming. Instead of giving him an option of being able to fight back, he just like
attempts. Yeah, and I guess that's true, because she actually sticks that stick then in the water to like stop him.
Yeah.
To like rinse it off and make him stop. So.
And for the kids, I wonder if it was, obviously they can't beat her in a fist fight. They can't like punch her. They can't punch her to death. So for them, they have to rip. They have to bite. They have to do these things like that. Because that's the only way they could actually injure them.
Animals and do whatever they can. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I just, yeah, I don't know. I think it was a good movie. I mean, honestly, most of the stuff we've said has been pretty negative. So I don't know, but I think it was a good movie.
Well, that's what's strange, right? Like we had all these negative feelings, but then, or these negative points, but we also like kind of liked it.
Yeah. Like
and
it wasn't
that's what
bad.
Was so confusing. And part of it could just be the acting. I mean, Josh Brolin did such a great job. Like I was, you know, he's the clear protagonist in the whole movie. Like I'm rooting for him the entire time. Right. I want him to find his kid.
Yeah.
Feeling for him. Like he's a really great character. He nails the performance. So it is just weird that you just have these, like, I don't know, these different feelings of the things that you liked and then the things that you didn't like. And then again, like what genre does it even fit in? Like I thought it was a horror movie. Turns out I don't think it was, but I think maybe he was trying to make it a horror movie. It was just, I don't know, just all over the place.
Yeah. I don't know. I did see that Conjuring trailer though. That Conjuring movie looks like it's going to be pretty scary.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it because I think it's going to be really scary. We have to watch some of the other ones though, because I've never even seen any of the Conjuring movies. So
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That one I think will be scary.
Yeah. I think that'll actually be scary, but yeah, this one, I don't know. I really don't know.
What did you think of the fragmented nature of it? Like I've seen some people talked about, you know, sometimes people don't like when the movie's like broken up, right? Like they kind of go back in time, different phases of the movie to give you someone else's perspective on kind of the entirety of the film up to that point.
That's the way that, that guy, what was the director's name again? It was Zach Kreger. That's how he does his movies. That's how he did Barbarian too. In Barbarian, I really enjoyed it. Like, that was one of my favorite parts about the movie was the way it was filmed, where you basically get an entire character's, like, chapter up into, and then they all kind of comes together at the end. I thought that was great. I really enjoy that. For this movie, it was okay. It was fine. Like, it wasn't, like, I don't know. I think it was good. I actually did think that was a good way to do it. I want to compare it to Pulp Fiction in that way, but I don't think it's exactly the same thing.
Pulp Fiction is one of the more famous movies that has done that.
Yeah.
Right.
I
don't know if they actually originated.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different because the stories connect, but like they're not like connected in every way.
Right.
But they kind of overlap.
Whereas this is kind of the exact same story. It's just told in different perspectives. I actually like that part of it. Sometimes that stuff bothers people. I enjoy it.
I think it's an effective way to. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just to see the different perspectives from the different characters.
Yeah, no, I actually did think that was a well done part.
You know, one thing that totally threw me, and it still kind of throws me, is the AR-15 over top of the house. Like when Josh Brolin's character,
yeah,
he has this nightmare. He's running outside. He's trying to find his kid. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think he's still in a dream state, right? While he's like out there running around, and he ends up, you know, running in one direction, but he still ends up at his house, even though he's like running away from his house. Right.
Yeah.
And over top of his house is this AR-15 that has 217 written on it, which is, you know, the time in the morning that all the kids like ran out of their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, I don't know. Is this like an allegory to school shooting? Like, is that what this whole movie is trying to be? And so I looked afterwards, and it sounds like the director was asked that question, and he said, no, that's not actually what it was. Right. Mm-hmm. But it bothered me because I'm like, what's this gun doing there? Like, I get like the name of the movie's weapons. I get that the kids were weaponized, but you didn't need to put this picture of an assault rifle over top of a house to make that point. Like we figure that out throughout the course of the movie.
Yeah.
So it just threw me. And then I spent like part of the movie sitting there thinking about like, is this what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
Are they just trying to use this movie as like a metaphor for school shootings where most of the class gets wiped out and there's all this blame and all this trauma and, you know, like, and so it kind of just bothered me because it threw me off to the point where I'm thinking about that during the movie instead of sitting there and just enjoying the movie.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think of that, but that did throw me. I was a little bit confused on what the point of the AR was. I wasn't sure if that was supposed to like imply something or, I mean, yeah, I guess the weapons, you know, I guess it kind of connects.
Yeah.
But like,
and maybe it was like in his mind, he was coming up with the fact that they were being used as weapons, but that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't really come across in that moment.
It wouldn't make any sense because how would he come up with this? Like there was nothing that he would have seen at that point to have convinced him of that.
Well, that's what also doesn't make sense about the nightmares in general, because they see the old witch lady in their nightmares, but they've never seen her before.
Right.
So it's like, why would they be having, like, is God sending down premonitions to them? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would she be in their nightmares? They don't know who she is.
Yeah. And why was she in the woods with the stoner? Like, it doesn't make any sense. They're just, I still go back to, it seems like as he's writing these things, he's got all these cool, interesting ideas.
Yeah. Because again, those were great, like very well done. Like nightmare sequences.
Some of the coolest little like images, right?
Yeah.
But instead of like picking and choosing which ones he wants to elaborate on, he just kind of throws it all in there. And I don't know, the end result is just this mixed bag of like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I guess the final thing I really have to speak on would be the very abrupt ending. I didn't like that. It was like the kids kill the lady. Josh Brolin comes running through the houses, following their path, right? He finally gets to them. He comes over to his son. He picks him up. And his son is kind of emotionless, but like, you know, he's got a son back, you know? And it's like, oh, that's nice that he got a son. And then it just kind of cuts to black. And then the kid talks about how like, oh, well, you know, oh, well, the mom and dad of that, the boy, well, they're on like a special care treatment. And yeah. And the kids, you know, some of them are starting to talk again this year. Yeah. And it just ended. And it's like, what?
I like that they ended it with the kid talking again.
Oh yeah. No, yeah.
Cause there's
no,
like, I agree with that story, but
it just ended out of nowhere. It was very abrupt. And it was like, what? It's over. Like what is going on? Like I don't like that. I don't like abrupt endings. I'm fine with my endings to the movie being kind of like a, what's going on? Like you could interpret this different ways. Like, I think that's great. I think that's cool. This was not one of those movies. This just ended. And again, Barbarian did the same thing. This is a way he likes to end his movies, in an abrupt way, where it was like, as soon as all the characters are dead, other than the main character, the movie just ends. As she's like walking down the street, just ends. but not like a cinematic, like she's walking. It's like, no, she just begins walking and then just ends. And it's like, what, you know, like just like out of nowhere. And it's just, it, I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel like I got my full movie experience. I feel right. like I'm cheated out of an ending.
Well, I remember, you know, I think you even like looked it up at the very end of the movie because the credits start rolling. Mm-hmm. And so you even like looked it up, like, is there a post credit scene?
Yeah. Like, right? Is there anything like, going on?
Seems like there's going to be something more here, but
yeah, no, it, yeah, it just, it no. feels like you got cheated out of like the next part because movies don't usually end that abruptly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might've mentioned it. The last podcast with what movie was it with Sinners? I think I may have mentioned The Thing. How, you know, yeah. that's one of my favorite horror movies and stuff. I love that movie. The ending to that movie is a, like, not like an abrupt ending, but it is like a mystery ending where it's kind of like, this is up to you to interpret. I'm not going to give you the answer. Like, you have to decide how you feel. You decide what's going on. What's like, and nobody knows. Even the characters in the movie don't know. So it's like that I really liked. Obviously, again, it's one of my favorite movies. So I feel like that's a really great ending. That's, and it's, it does end. It's kind of like this happens, but like there's a little bit of like a, again, there's a cool down. Like there's the big event and then a little bit of a cool down. Then it's like, wait a second, hold on. What's going on? You know, hold on a second. Wait. And then you're kind of left with this lingering question, but it's, again, it's done in a way where it's still an ending to the movie.
And right? there's that lingering question.
And like, there's that lingering
not
question.
Not really any question left for us.
Yeah. Movie. Other than all the questions we have about what was going on, but like, yeah, there's no lingering question to this movie. That's like meant to be made. It's like, it just ends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's funny because I did enjoy the movie, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of problems. Like there's a lot of issues.
Yeah. The more I try to talk about it, the more I'm like,
there's a lot. I don't like it.
Doesn't seem like I enjoyed it, even though
I did enjoy it.
I was entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was an entertaining experience.
But like you said, I don't, it's not one I really want to watch again.
No. Yeah. I have no desire to ever watch it again. You know, I feel the same way about Barbarian. I don't want to watch it again. Like maybe I'd watch the first like half, like that. That's really how I feel about Barbarian is like, I'd maybe watch the first half again. And then I want to cut it off because I don't want to finish it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
All right. You got any other final thoughts you want
to? No, that's it for me.
All right. So how are you going to score this thing?
You know, it's funny. Cause I feel like leaving the movie theater and going into this, I probably had a higher score than I do now after really talking about everything. Cause I think my initial score would have been like 7, but honestly now I'm feeling more like a 6. Like, cause again, I don't think it was bad. Like it wasn't a bad movie. There was a lot I enjoyed about it, but there was a lot that I didn't enjoy about it. And honestly, it seems like there's more I didn't enjoy about it than I did. I just was entertained. So like, which I think matters. I think being entertained matters. Even if there's a lot of complaints and problems, if I'm entertained, it makes up for some of it. So I feel like a 6 out of 10 is fair.
Yeah, so I go 5 out of 10, pretty close. And for me, it does come down to that balance of like, I just have so many mixed feelings about it. I think there were some really cool things that they did. There were some really cool scenes, mm-hmm. and I for sure was entertained. But then, you know, all those things we discussed were like, I think they just missed on a lot.
Yeah.
And even some of the cool things that I liked about it, some of the jump scares, those were actually like misses.
Yeah.
From like a plot standpoint.
Which is really unfortunate because, yeah, those were the best parts of the movie. The best parts of the movie are the ones that don't make any sense. Right. So.
Which is maybe why you like put them in, right? Like, well, this is a pretty cool thing. Mm. So, yeah. So I'd go 5 out of 10. I would say if you watch it and you like movies that are, yeah, they got some gore, they got some action, they've got some suspense. Like, I guess you'd classify this as a horror movie. I have a tough time doing that.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's more of a thriller.
Yeah, I think you'd be entertained if you like thrillers. But you're probably not going to want to watch it again. And you'd probably leave with some of the same questions that you and I had.
You know what? Actually, one more thing I do want to talk about. One thing I think is about kind of an issue with it is that it almost sets itself up as a mystery. Yet nobody really like discovers anything. Like when you actually think about it, no one ever really figures anything out. Like, the stoner just stumbles across everything and then is like, oh, well, there's obviously all these kids here. Something's going on. That's about as far as he goes. Cop doesn't figure anything out. the lady, she just, the teacher, she just sees those people in there. It's like, that's weird. It's all she figures out. The Josh Brolin actually did kind of, he tried to do his little investigating, some sleuthing, right? And he kind of figured out, all right, all the kids went in these different directions, which all lead to this area. And then she was like, hey, that's that boy's house. So, but that's about it. They didn't figure out anything.
Like, I think that's what's missing from the ending, right? Like, even at the end, like, you don't, there's no discussion of the magic tree. There's no like, oh, now the town understands what happened. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, some of the kids are getting better. So like, you never even know, like, does anyone actually figure out what happened?
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I feel like that does kind of take away from it, because we obviously figure everything out. We see all these things, but the characters don't. We do. So it feels like when Josh Brolin walks away with his kid, well, this is a hard-earned fault victory. Well, he didn't really do much. Like, he kind of like, you know, I mean, he did way more than anybody else. Like, he was doing much more. He was doing a lot of work, but it still does feel a little bit like, man, well, nobody really figured anything out. No one in this movie was like actually productively doing anything for half the movie.
Right.
You know, like, he kind of did one thing and that was it. So I don't know. That's something that I hadn't even thought about, but I feel like that's part of an issue. And even classifying it as like a mystery movie, because there is no mystery. There's no figuring out the mystery. They just tell you everything.
Yeah.
No one actually figures anything out. They just tell the audience.
Yeah. And then there's no resolution from the character standpoint. And as an audience member, like, I want the characters to get some resolution out of this.
Yeah.
Cause that gives me resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty disappointing. I guess one more thing I want to add is I did like that they had a cameo of that one guy, the actor. I don't know his name, but he was in Barbarian. He was, if not the best, he was one of the best like actors in that movie. That was another movie that had a lot of great acting. As much as I don't like the movie, great acting in that movie as well. That's something that I'll definitely give this guy, is that he gets some great casts together and they all perform very well. But he was in that. I believe he might have been in Jeepers Creepers. I don't know what else he would have been in, though.
You're talking about the dad of the girl, right?
Yeah, the dad of the little girl that Josh Brolin went to their house to see if he could get their footage of the incident. I don't know his name, but I really liked him.
Yeah, I recognize him. I can't remember everything he's been in, but yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool that he was a cameo in there. I like it when directors will have cameos for, like, you know, like, what is it? Sam Raimi always has Bruce Campbell in his movies. You know, I love Bruce Campbell, so it's cool to see him in all of Sam Raimi's movies, basically, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really all my thoughts I have on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for us. Thank you all for listening, and make sure you subscribe and check out our next episode.